This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, November 12, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll get to all the football, but I think the coaching change for the Los Angeles Lakers trumps even the football, not because of who was hired, but frankly because of who was not hired. Once Mike Brown was fired and word got out that Phil Jackson was not only available but interested, it seemed to be like a done deal that it was going to be Phil Jackson. But apparently late last night, literally 11 o'clock to 12 midnight on the West Coast, the Lakers hierarchy, the bus father, the bus son, GM Mitch Kupchak, decided rather than negotiating with Phil Jackson to simply hire Mike D'Antoni. Now, I saw Mike D'Antoni coach about 4 years in New York, and it wasn't pretty. But the Lakers, they never said it was a money thing or anything. They have signed Mike D'Antoni to a three-year, $12 million contract, $4 million a year with a club option for the fourth year. D'Antoni actually had knee surgery recently, and he may not be able to get out to L.A. quickly because he has some travel restrictions because of his knee. But again, the bigger news is apparently Phil Jackson had already started calling potential assistant coaches, and it was just viewed to be a matter of time. His agent talking to the Lakers on Sunday, and he was getting ready to fly to L.A. today. And for whatever reason, it just kind of broke down. According to reports from behind the scenes, the Laker hierarchy just thought that D'Antoni would be a better fit with this roster, which, you know, I don't care what the roster is of the Lakers, just kind of makes you shake your head. But it is true, only four guys on the present-day roster have played. The triangle offense, which is a hard offense to learn. As you know by now, probably Mike Brown tried to institute the Princeton offense, and people had trouble grasping the Princeton offense. But I think Jackson coming back in the triangle offense is a totally different deal because 11 rings is 11 rings is 11 rings. As you know, the knock, if you will, on Phil Jackson has been he could only win championships with superstars. But in this situation, superstars abound on the Lakers, you know, not just Kobe. Steve Nash, of course, looking for a title. Dwight Howard, of course, looking for a title. And, you know, people are calling Pau Gasol a superstar. I wouldn't call him a superstar, but he's a star. But only four guys on that roster had played the triangle. Kobe, Pau Gasol, Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest, and Steve Blake, who's starting while Nash is injured. But the notion that Steve Nash, one of the brightest point guards in the history of the NBA, couldn't learn the triangle is absurd. And then you just have to give Dwight Howard a crash course, and that's essentially the group that you would have, those six guys. So it just strikes me as bizarre. They claim it wasn't about money. The rumors were Phil Jackson wanted 2 years, $20 million, and more say. But according to the latest reports, they never even discussed salary between the Lakers and Phil Jackson. So you just have to wonder how this is really going to shake out. Again, Mike D'Antoni did great at Phoenix, but as I wrote when he came to the Knicks, if he couldn't win a title with that squad at Phoenix, and you'll recall the youth, the athleticism, the talent that was out there, led, of course, by two-time MVP Steve Nash, who won his back-to-back MVPs with Mike D'Antoni as coach. You know, you'll recall a young Amari Stoudemire, pre-knee issues, or pre-knee injuries that really hurt him, I should say. And they just had all those athletic guys like Leandro Barbosa. I mean, they were a very athletic team. So when he came to New York, when D'Antoni came to New York, I wrote an article, if he couldn't win, he didn't even get to the finals with that team. Now, again, those were the years when the West was very, very powerful, much more powerful than the East. But I remember writing an article when he showed up in New York saying, if he couldn't get to the finals with this team, how is he getting to the finals with the Knicks? And, of course, that became an unmitigated disaster. His winning percentage in New York four seasons was 420. He could never quite mesh Carmelo, you know, who really couldn't play in his system. You know, when Jeremy Lin was the MVP of the NBA for that 1 month last February, he became a scorer because Carmelo wasn't playing and Amari wasn't playing. But Carmelo never really liked that style. Is Kobe going to be able to adapt to that style? Are they going to run the pick and roll for Nash like they did when Nash was a world beater in Phoenix? You know, Nash is out hurt now. He's actually got a broken bone in his foot. He's missing another week. So there's a lot going on in L.A. I personally thought you got to take Phil Jackson if he wants the job. And again, with those four guys and the four guys that ran the triangle, Blake, Artest, Kobe, and Pau Gasol, and Nash and his brilliance, well, that's really the gigantic part of your team other than Howard. And again, they'd have to give Howard a crash course in playing the triangle. But my goodness, I think this is a gigantic mistake. But keep in mind, Kobe loves D'Antoni. You know that story. Kobe grew up in Italy when his father played in Italy. Mike D'Antoni was a super-duper star in Italy. And Kobe idolized D'Antoni. So there's a good hook there. Obviously, Nash, two-time MVP under D'Antoni. So there's a hook there. And generally speaking, this is what all the Knicks players said. Oh, we love to play other than Carmelo. We love to play in the D'Antoni system. Why? Because it's come down, shoot it in 7 or 8 seconds, does not emphasize defense. You know, maybe he'll emphasize defense more now. He's got an incredible defensive center, obviously, in Dwight Howard. Kobe's still a bull defensively. Artest, of course, a great defensive player. So this is very, very interesting. But, again, it's more interesting given the fact that Phil Jackson apparently wanted the job and didn't get it. And I'd be shocked now. And look, I picked the Lakers to win the championship. I'd be shocked, and I have to, and I'll stick with them because I picked them. But I never thought Mike D'Antoni had the system to win the NBA championship. As great as those Phoenix teams were, and they were great, unbelievable talent, unbelievable athleticism. Again, they couldn't even make the NBA finals. The whole thing with the Knicks for 4 years was a disaster. You knew it was going to be tough early, but by the end, he had a pretty good squad. Made the playoffs, got swept. I mean, again, it was just terrible. So I think this is a big mistake. Only time will tell. But the Lakers have hired Mike D'Antoni, who was not coaching this year. He, again, just had knee surgery. 3 years, $12 million club option for a fourth year. He'll get out to L.A. when the doctors allow him to travel. But to me, it's much more shocking for who they didn't hire rather than who they did hire. But we'll just keep an eye on that. Obviously, the NBA season is young. The Lakers won again last night. Bernie Bickerstaff, the interim coach, is 2-0. And, of course, Bickerstaff's a lifer who's been in the league forever and has coached, have been a head coach, you know, multiple times. Be interesting to see if D'Antoni keeps the staff, if he has any say in bringing in new coaches, et cetera, et cetera. But that all remains to be seen. So Mike D'Antoni in, Mike Brown fired, Phil Jackson on the outside looking in. Fascinating stuff going on in Los Angeles. But let's get to the NFL now. A lot going on in the NFL yesterday. I know the marquee game was the Texans at the Bears, and we'll get to that in a minute. Turned out to be a mud fest, of course, in the rain. But the bigger news, I think, is Atlanta, 8-0, on the road, goes down to New Orleans. New Orleans at 3-5, playing for their life. I thought at 0-4 it would be impossible for them to make the playoffs. But yesterday, New Orleans at home, maybe they're getting that home. You know, they were virtually unbeatable at home the last few seasons, not this year. But yesterday in New Orleans, I think they were fortunate to win, but New Orleans beats Atlanta. New Orleans 31, Atlanta 27. And I say fortunate for this reason. Very late in the game, literally in the last 20, 25 seconds, Atlanta has the ball. They're trailing 31-27. They're driving down the field, and Matty Ryan rolls out to his right, looking to pass, throws a bomb. Roddy White is wide open on like the 15-yard line, maybe the 10-yard line. And for some reason, inexplicably, he's backpedaling to catch the ball like a shortstop would catch a pop-up. I have no idea why he was backpedaling, but had he turned and just run like a normal receiver does, what, 99% of the time? Matty Ryan would have hit him in stride. Instead, the ball was 5 yards over Roddy White's head, incomplete pass, unbelievable. And New Orleans holds on, New Orleans 31, Atlanta 27, New Orleans now 4-5. We'll get to the standings. They're obviously not as far out of it as they were when they were 0-4. But yesterday, Drew Brees, 21 for 32, 298 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Matty Ryan, 34 for 52, 411 yards, 3 TDs, 1 pick. But that one throw, and you can't blame Matt Ryan. I mean, you can't expect your receiver, and especially a star like Roddy White, to simply turn around and backpedal again like a shortstop goes back for a short pop-up. If the ball's 40 feet over the shortstop's head, he's not backpedaling. He's turning and running. Every wideout runs a long route, and this was like a 45, 50-yard pass. Runs, and catches the ball. But Roddy White was backpedaling. It wasn't even close when he was backpedaling. It's not like it just went off his fingertips. I mean, it was 5 yards over his head at least, and that was the play of the game. They say you never win or lose on one play, et cetera, et cetera. But, wow, he was wide open. And that would have been, you know, put him up by three with literally 19 seconds left in the game or 17 seconds left in the game. A few other things in that game. Ivory, 7 rushes for 72 yards and a touchdown. Ingram, 16 rushes for 67 yards. Graham, the tight end, it was a battle of the tight ends, Gonzalez and Graham. Graham, 7 for 146 yards and 2 touchdowns. Moore, 7 for 91. Colston, 3 for 26 and a touchdown. For Atlanta, the ageless wonder, Tony Gonzalez, how does he do it? Although he did say he's retiring at the end of this year. 11 receptions, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns, his 100th and 101st touchdowns of his career. Tony Gonzalez just, you know, setting the tight end world on fire. The records, he's got like all these records for tight ends now. Roddy White, 7 receptions for 114 yards, but, you know, and that's a big but. Jones, 4 receptions for 75 yards. Douglas, 4 for 49. Again, a gigantic win for the Saints. Now, look, the Falcons obviously didn't need the game as much as the Saints. The Saints were playing at home. The Falcons were in a position to win. They're now 8-1. New Orleans keeps its playoff hopes alive again in the mediocre football league, the MFL. Not the NFL, the MFL. You can be, we'll get to Philly and Dallas later, you can be 3-5 like Philly and Dallas were, and the winner's still in the hunt. The loser's got problems. New Orleans, if they had lost to an undefeated Atlanta team, they'd have 6 losses. They'd have problems, but they didn't. They won the game. They're now 4-5. You really do have to give them a lot of credit because a lot of people, including me, I don't think they'd make the playoffs. I still don't think they won't, but they have not. Look, they're still 4 games behind Atlanta. They ain't winning the division. They need to, you know, get in line for a wild card, and I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs. But, to me, they saved their season yesterday. New Orleans 31, Falcons 27. We'll get to the rest of the NFL after the break. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Going to get right to the rest of the NFL, the premier game, the Sunday night game, the Texans against the Bears, two teams with only one loss now in the NFL, and it became, frankly, kind of a strange game. Both came in 7-1, but Jay Cutler got hurt. In fact, Cutler he took a vicious hit, and they don't know if that's when the concussion was, but he took a vicious hit in the second quarter, played out the second quarter, went into the locker room, threw two interceptions in the first half, but did not come back for the second half. And Jason Campbell, who you recall is the Raider quarterback a few years ago, Campbell came in to relieve and just couldn't quite do anything. Texans 13, Bears 6, raining like heck. The Mud Bowl in the second half, obviously not a lot of scoring, obviously good defensive teams. But I thought the key to the game was, frankly, Cutler getting knocked out. Matt Schaub, bad, you know, circumstances, threw for two picks, only 14 for 26 for 95 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions for Schaub. And when you see those numbers, if you hear that before the game, how are the Texans winning? But the Bears, four turnovers in the first half. I mean, just brutal. Three of them in the first quarter. So give the Bears credit for being in the game, but that's why the Texans won the game. It obviously wasn't an offensive game. The offensive star was Arian Foster, of course, for the Texans, 29 rushes for 102 yards, but he also caught a TD pass out of the backfield, and that was, of course, the only TD in the game. So he was really the offensive star of the game. First 8-1 start in Texans team history. Cutler was 7-for-14 for 40 yards and 2 picks, no TDs, of course, before he was knocked out of the game. Campbell, you know, decent numbers, 11-for-19 and 94 yards, but he just couldn't get the Bears into the end zone. And if you saw the game, well, Sunday night game, in the second half, the Bears had incredible field position a number of times in Texans territory, and all they could get was a field goal. And so that was really the problem, the Bears' inability. Now, again, Campbell's the backup. He hasn't played. Cutler wasn't there. The weather was terrible. The Texans have a good defense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Cutler really has gained respect this year as a guy who can make plays, and he simply wasn't on the field to make plays. Texans 13, Bears 6. Texans with a great road win moved to 8-1. Bears with a home loss dropped down to 7-2. A lot of interesting games yesterday. Cowboys and Eagles, I viewed this to be a very important game because of the loser with 6 losses is probably in deep. Look, last year 9-7 won that division, but if you're 3-6, I don't see how it's possible, frankly, to make the playoffs. Yesterday, the Cowboys in Philly to play the Eagles, and you know the drama in both cities. Is Andy Reid going to be fired? Is Michael Vick going to stay the quarterback? In Dallas, they were talking about possibly, is Tony Romo going to be the quarterback? Can Jason Garrett hang on? Well, yesterday, Cowboys leading 10-7 at the half, but tied at 17 after 3. They explode for 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter on the road in Philly. Michael Vick gets knocked out of the game. Cowboys 38, Eagles 23. Looks like Vick has a concussion. Dallas moves to 4-5, and 5 of their next 6 games are at home. Philly drops to 3-6, and Michael Vick again knocked out of the game. Now, Nick Foles, if you saw him in the preseason, you know, there are a lot of questions for the Eagles. Should Nick Foles replace Michael Vick? Every week, Andy Reid said, Michael Vick's my starter, Michael Vick's my starter, Michael Vick's my starter. We'll have to see now how Vick is health-wise. He was 6-for-9 for 70 yards and a touchdown before he was knocked out of the game. Foles came in 22-for-32, 219 yards, 1 great throw for a touchdown, 1 interception. Tony Romo, 19-for-26, 209 yards, 2 touchdowns. Again, most importantly to me, no picks. Jones, 16 catches for 71 yards. Dunbar, 16 rushes, I'm sorry. Felix Jones, 16 rushes for 71 yards. Jason Witten, 8 receptions for 47 yards. Dez Bryant, 3-for-87 and a touchdown. Jones, 3-for-22 out of the backfield and a touchdown. LeSean McCoy, 16 rushes for 82 yards. Jeremy Maclin, 8 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. The Eagles, I think, are done. I think there's too much. You know, I understand now in the league, now you can get to 500 and be in it. Remember, the Eagles were knocked out last year of the playoffs in the last week when they were 8-8, when the Giants went to be 9-7. So I guess you never say never. But now the Cowboys, 4-5 with the Giants losing, and we'll get to that debacle against the Bengals. They're only one behind in the loss column. So Cowboys get the road win, 38-23. Cowboys move to 4-5. Eagles lose Michael Vick and the game. And again, some people have been saying Nick Foles would be better. Played pretty well yesterday, but the Eagles dropped to 3-6. And to me, I think it's virtually impossible for a 3-6 team to make the playoffs. But as we've seen, again, not impossible, but very, very, very difficult. A lot of other games to get to, and maybe the strangest game of the year. I don't know if there'll be a stranger game than this one. The Rams in San Francisco to play the 49ers, and the 49ers and the Rams play to a 24-all tie. Excuse me, 24-all tie, something that like hasn't happened in 4 years. You know that means they played a 15-minute overtime period. Now, David Akers had kicked a field goal at the buzzer, a short field goal, to tie up the game and send it into overtime. But then in overtime, Akers missed a 31-yarder to win the game, which is kind of I don't know. I mean, Akers is one of the greatest kickers in the history of the NFL. But he did miss a relative chippy field goal. And then Zuerlein made a 53-yarder, but there was a penalty. And, you know, Zuerlein, this is the guy, he's kicked like 60 yarders. I mean, he's got an unbelievable leg. But after the 5-yard penalty, he missed a 58-yarder. Again, I don't know if you expect him to make that. Certainly he has the leg and has a chance. But in overtime, each team missed a field goal that would have won the game. Alex Smith, another quarterback to be knocked out of the game with a concussion. So Kaepernick, who you might have seen, you know, he's kind of San Francisco mocked the Jets when they had Kaepernick come in and run the Wildcat when they were playing Tim Tebow. He's much better. Kaepernick and the 49ers are much better running the running out of the pocket than, you know, running the Wildcat than the Jets are. And by the way, I apologize. I said Akers missed a 31-yarder. He missed a 41-yarder. So that's obviously a bit of a difference. But still, Akers, you expect him. He rarely ever misses. So they lost Alex Smith. Kaepernick came into the game. Alex Smith, you know, again, for them to win the Super Bowl, he's going to have to just be better. As for the Rams, Bradford, 26 for 39 for 275 and two TDs. They got Amendola back. Amendola, 11 receptions for 102 yards. Smith was 7 for 8 for 72 yards and a touchdown before he was hurt. Kaepernick was 11 for 17 for 107 yards. I'm sorry, 117 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Frank Gore, 21 for 97 and a touchdown. Kaepernick running out of the backfield as he can, 8 for 66 and a touchdown. Crabtree with 5 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. But it's just bizarre now. What used to be commonplace, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, there'd always be a few ties every week. Now is a rarity. But yesterday, the Rams on the road in San Francisco. It's an interesting dynamic standings-wise, and we'll get to the standings later, but 24 all tie in San Francisco. And another weird thing that happened in this game, it was early in the second quarter. I don't know if you could really say it affected the game, but when they were measuring for a first down, the clock somehow inexplicably kept running, and like over a minute, like a minute and 12 seconds, was skipped early in the second quarter while they were measuring for a first down. And it was never corrected, which is highly unusual. Again, it wasn't late in the first half. It was at the beginning of the second quarter. But still, you know, you don't know if somebody would have scored in that minute and extra minute and 12. But Rams 24, 49ers 24. Steven Jackson for the Rams, 29 rushes for 101 yards and a touchdown as well. He had a good game. But I don't know if it's like kissing your sister. I assume the Rams on the road, they wanted to win, but they're happy to tie a top team in San Francisco. San Francisco now 6-2-1. The Rams now 3-5-1, and that could have, you know, it's not a win, but it's the old, it's not a loss either. So give some credit to the Rams for playing very well on the road. I certainly thought the 49ers would win this game. 24 all tie, Rams and 49ers. Another important game, Lions on the road to play the Vikings. That's now, you know, the toughest division, Lions, Vikings, Green Bay, and Chicago. Lions go into Minnesota, but Minnesota, with 18 points in the fourth quarter, comes away with a 34-24 victory. What can you say? The Vikings are one of the surprise teams to me in all of football. I thought the Lions did overachieve last year, but I didn't think the Vikings would be good at all. The Vikings win at home, protect home field, beat the Lions 34-24. Ponder, very good game. He's been getting some criticism out there. 24 for 32 for 221, two touchdowns, no picks. Of course, it helps when you have Peterson running for you. 27 rushes for 171 yards. And a touchdown for Adrian Peterson, including a 61-yard run where he didn't even score. Ponder spread the ball around. Rudolph, 7 receptions for 64 yards and a touchdown. Wright, 3 for 65 and a touchdown. Simpson, 3 for 28. Peterson, 3 catches out of the backfield. I mean, Minnesota's a very good team. They're much better than I thought. Matt Stafford, 28 for 42, 329, 3 touchdowns and a pick. LeSure, 13 for 43. The Lions really couldn't start a rushing game. You know, Megatron's Megatron, Calvin Johnson, 12 receptions, 207 yards and a touchdown. Bell with 7 for 44 as well. But a big win for the Vikings, 34-24. The Vikings now 6-4. The Lions now 4-5. Bunch of other games in the NFL. The Giants, as I said, if you're a New Yorker, a total debacle yesterday for the New York teams, Giants and Jets. Giants on the road in Cincinnati. You know, they were slaughtered for playing poorly against Pittsburgh. I didn't think they played that poorly myself. Pittsburgh's a very good team. They did lose at home to the Steelers, as you know. But yesterday on the road against Cincinnati, now I picked Cincinnati to make the playoffs as a second wild card. They started off 3-1. They lost 4 in a row. Maybe it's the old they were more desperate than the Giants were, although the Giants are soon to be desperate. You'll see when we get to the standings. But yesterday, the Bengals manhandled the Giants. I mean, it got off to a 14-0 lead, 17-6 at the half, 31-6 after three, and they coast home 31-13. Third game in a row, no touchdown passes for Eli Manning, which is just, you know, stunning. Now, again, Manning and Coughlin, they've got a lifetime pass in New York, two Super Bowls, beat the Patriots twice. But they always seem to fall into these funks, the Giants. They even did last year. Remember, they only finished 9-7. Pretty scary. But yesterday, the Bengals manhandled the Giants at home in Cincinnati. Bengals 31, Giants 13. Andy Dalton, very interesting, 21 for 30 for only 199 yards. But four touchdown passes, no picks, his first four touchdown pass of the year. A minor running game with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, 15 for 50, and Pierman, 6 for 21. But, you know, A.J. Green is unbelievable, 7 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown, including a 56-yarder early that kind of set the stage. Sanu, 4 receptions for 47 yards and a touchdown. Hawkins, 3 catches, including a touchdown. Gresham, 3 catches, including a touchdown. Bengals, 31, Giants, 13. Eli Manning, you know, 29 for 46, but only for 215 yards, no TDs and two picks. Yes, another deflection, which is what hounded Eli a couple of years ago, but the Giants really have not played like the Giants. They kind of split the rushing between Brown, who I like a lot, and Bradshaw, who's good as well. Brown, 7 for 65 and a touchdown. Those are rushes. Bradshaw, 10 for 57. Bradshaw did have a big fumble. Hakeem Nicks, 9 catches for 75 yards. Victor Cruz, I think they're starting to really focus on Victor Cruz. Obviously, he's a game-breaker, especially since he won that Redskins game with that 77-yard catch in the final minute. Cruz yesterday, only 3 for 26. He took a beating. Clearly, the defenses are trying to beat up Cruz. He took a beating in the Steeler game last week, and again, only 3 catches for 26 yards yesterday. Bengals 31, Giants 13. Bunch of other games. Ravens, no contest, hammering the Raiders in Baltimore, 55-20. Flacco, 21 for 33, 341 and 3 TDs. Again, he's really the key to the team this year. Not much of a rushing game. Rice, 13 rushes for 35 yards and a TD. Pitta, who's like Flacco's favorite receiver now, 5 catches for 67 yards. And a touchdown. Carson Palmer, 29 for 45 for 368 for 2 TDs, but no rushing game for the Raiders as well. Reese, 13 rushes for 48 yards, but also the leading receiver, 7 for 56. But the Ravens, 27-10 at the half, 48-17 after 3, coast to a 55-20 victory. The Bills and the Patriots, you know, the Patriots, I think, are always over-favored at home. The Bills put up 31 on them and were driving late in the game. It was just an interception late by Devin McCourty that saved the game in the end zone. Patriots 37, Bills 31. Tom Brady 23 for 38, 237 and 2 touchdowns. Fitzpatrick 27 for 40, 337 and 2 touchdowns. Ridley 22 rushes for 98 yards and a touchdown. The Patriots do have that ground game. Wes Welker 6 receptions for 74 yards. Jackson for Buffalo, 16 rushes for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. Johnson for Buffalo, 6 receptions for 86. But the Bills can't get out of their own way. Patriots, as I said, they have this easy four-game stretch, although that was not an easy stretch yesterday. 6-3, they have a good lead in the AFC East. We'll get to the standings later. Patriots 37, Bills 31. We'll get to the rest of the NFL after these messages. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. A few more football games to get to. The Broncos, the amazing return of Peyton Manning continues. Up 17-7 in Carolina against the now hapless Panthers. They win 36-14. Peyton Manning, what can you say? 27 for 38, 301 yards, one touchdown, no picks. Willis McGahee, 14 rushes for 56 yards. Demaryius Thomas, 9 receptions, 135 yards. Stokely, an old favorite, of course, of Manning's, 4 for 54 and a touchdown. Cam Newton, you know, they are where they were last year, frankly, 2-7 yesterday. Newton, 21 for 36, 241 yards, 2 touchdowns, but also 2 picks, no rushing game to speak of. Stewart, 8 for 31. Olsen, who's become, frankly, Newton's favorite target, 9 receptions for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns, but not enough. Unbelievable. Peyton Manning, 36. Broncos, 36. Carolina, 14. The Buccaneers beat the Chargers, 34-24. The Buccaneers, to me, a surprising 5-4, and they are at Carolina next week, so obviously a good chance to win. Rivers, 29 for 37, 337 yards, 3 TDs, but not enough. He also gave up an interception that Leonard Johnson returned, 83 yards for a touchdown. That was a backbreaker. Josh Freeman, 14 for 20, 210 yards, and 2 TDs. The Buccaneers, Greg Schiano, first-year coach from Rutgers, viewed to be the worst, one of the worst teams in football, now 5-4. Bucks 34, Chargers 24. If you saw the after-game press conference, North Turner get, you know, I think North Turner and Phillip Rivers are almost in the same boat as Andy Reid, although I don't think North Turner is as good a head coach as Andy Reid and Michael Vick, of course. The Titans manhandled the Dolphins in Miami. People thought maybe the Dolphins at 4-4 after last week could, you know, they crushed the Jets. Maybe they could mount a challenge to the Patriots. But yesterday, the Titans on the road, 14-0 after one, 24-3 at halftime, 31-3 after three quarters, coast home. Titans 37, Dolphins 3. Walker 9 for 21, 122 yards and 2 touchdowns. Johnson back in the fold. Chris Johnson, 23 rushes, 126 yards and a touchdown. Tannehill 23 for 39 for 217, but they couldn't mount any offense. Titans 37. Dolphins 3, Dolphins now 4-5, Titans now 4-6, and the Patriots, who are just surviving, are fortunate that they're in a division where the Dolphins and the Bills and the Jets simply aren't as good, and the Patriots, you know, they'll have to get their defense together to make a Super Bowl run, but they're going to, as we discussed a few weeks ago, they're going to coast in the AFC East. Finally, talking about the AFC East, the hapless Jets, and boy, are they being mocked in New York today. The hapless Jets go to Seattle. Look, nobody thought they could win the game. Seahawks 28, Jets 7, Sanchez 9 for 22 for 124 yards. I mean, what are you going to say? What can you say? Russell Wilson, give him credit, efficient, 12 for 19, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns. Was 14-7 after three quarters, but the Seahawks score 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to make it an easy 28-7 win. Seahawks, as you know, very tough at home, and it's a tough place to play, and the Jets are just not that good. Now, they did use Tim Tebow a lot more yesterday, but so what? I mean, San Francisco is better at running the Wildcat than the Jets, and all the Jets did in the offseason was talk about Tebow and maybe up to 20 plays a game and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think he was 3-for-3 yesterday for 8 yards. He actually passed the ball. But you put pass in quotes, he just throws, you know, little 2-yard screens or 1-yard outs. I mean, the Jets are a laughingstock in New York today, I can tell you that. Seahawks 28, Jets 7. Let's go to the standings quickly. First in the NFC, in the East, the Giants only a 1-game advantage in the loss column over the Cowboys. The Giants 6-4, so they've played 10 games. The Cowboys 4-5, they've only played 9. But both the Eagles and the Redskins now 3-6. Unbelievable. The Bears still have the lead in that very tough NFC North. I mean, that's got to be the best division now, I think. The Bears 7-2, the Packers 6-3. The Vikings, after that big win over the Lions, 6-4, and the Lions, after that loss to the Vikings, are 4-5. In the South, the Falcons, despite losing, still have a commanding 3-game lead over Tampa Bay. Falcons 8-1, Tampa Bay 5-4. New Orleans trying to climb back in, 4-5. The Panthers, like last year, 2-7 after 9. They're going nowhere. And in the West, you know, again, interesting because this is where the tie is. The 49ers, 6-2-1. The Seahawks 6-4, so obviously the 49ers have a 2-game lead in the loss column. Arizona started 4-0, fell off a cliff 4-5, and the Rams 3-5, well, 3-5-1 after that tie. In the AFC, as we said, the Patriots, you know, I think they win this by default, 6-3. Miami after that loss, 4-5. The Jets and Buffalo, 3-6. So the Patriots have a two-game lead over Miami and a three-game lead over the Jets and Buffalo. And again, the Patriots, their schedule gets tougher towards the end, but their next three games are easily winnable for the Patriots. In the AFC North, Ravens with that blowout win yesterday, 7-2. The Steelers, 5-3, still trying to hang in there. They're the Steelers. So you, of course, expect them to hang in there. The Bengals, 4-5. They had a must-win yesterday against the Giants, and they won. The Browns, 2-7. The AFC South, Houston Texans, big win over the Bears. They're 8-1. Two-game lead over the surprising Indianapolis Colts. The Colts can make a run, probably at the wild card more so than the Texans. The Colts are 6-3. Tennessee, 4-6. Jacksonville's season done already, 1-8. And in the West, you know, I picked the Broncos kind of by default, Peyton Manning in default. They're 6-3. Two-game lead over San Diego, 4-5. Three-game lead over Oakland, 3-6. And, of course, the lowly Chiefs. I thought they'd be better for Romeo Crennel, but they haven't. So far, they're 1-7. And, frankly, they're just way out of it. Got a bunch of other things to get to quickly. NASCAR, interesting. You know, we talked about it. Two races left in the chase. It was really Jimmy Johnson and Brad Keselowski. Jimmy Johnson with a slight lead and a five-time winner, so a lot of people gave him the big edge. But yesterday in Phoenix, Jimmy Johnson blows a tire. You know, his right front tire goes. This is maybe the bizarre thing in NASCAR to me. You know, a guy gets a flat tire and all but loses his chance to win the chase. Jimmy Johnson, five-time winner, blows his tire, bangs into the wall, wrecks, finishes 32nd. Brad Keselowski, who avoided a couple of wrecks, and we'll get to the other story in this race in a minute, but he finishes 6th, so he now moves into first place in the chase. He's plus 20 over Jimmy Johnson, and if Keselowski finishes 15th or better, you know, anywhere from 1st to 15th next week, he cannot lose. He's the chase winner, even if Jimmy Johnson wins the race. That's how bad a 32nd place finish hurt Jimmy Johnson, again, because his right front tire blew out. So the last race is Homestead down in Florida. Keselowski presumably is going to try and stay out of trouble and just finish in the top 15, and if he does, he'll win the chase. Kevin Harvick won this race. That was almost an afterthought to the afterthought because Clint Bowyer and Jeff Gordon, you know, a four-time champion, really got into it. According to Gordon, Clint Bowyer had bumped him and cut him off during the race, so Gordon literally waited, slowed down and waited for Clint Bowyer to come around and then just knocked him out of the race. And the pit crews were fighting afterwards. Again, I assume there'll be, you know, massive fines. I don't know if they'll suspend these guys. There is only one race left in the chase. But that should not take away from what Keselowski and Jimmy Johnson are trying to do at the end of the day. It's who wins the championships. And it looks like, barring some major catastrophe next week, that will be Brad Keselowski, which would be a very big upset over the five-time champion. Johnson has won 5 of the last 6 in the NASCAR chase. But we'll talk about that more towards the end of the week and see what the fallout is from that fight. Want to get to a few games in the NBA. Obviously, the NBA, you know, just underway, but the story has been the Lakers, their play on the court, their hiring of a coach off the court. Yesterday, the Lakers moved to 3-4. Bernie Bickerstaff, 2-0, is the interim coach. And, you know, they probably wanted to get Mike Brown out because he would have had a good homestand, too. They were 1-4, now they're 3-4. Lakers yesterday beat the Kings 103-90. Dwight Howard, 23 and 18 rebounds to lead the Lakers, Fredette with 18 for the Kings, but really not a game. Lakers 103, Kings 90, Lakers 3-4, Kings 2-5. Number of other games. The main game yesterday, a little surprising to me, the Heat go to Memphis and the Grizzlies beat the Heat pretty easily, 104-86. Rudy Gay with 21. The real story was Wayne Ellington off the bench. Remember Wayne Ellington from Carolina? Really hasn't made a lot of noise as a pro, but off the bench yesterday, 8 for 13 from the floor, 7 for 11 from 3. He has 25 points, the 7 threes and the 25 points, both career highs for Ellington. Conley, 18 points, 9 assists. I mean, they have a nice team. Randolph, 18 points, 12 assists. Marc Gasol, only 2 points, but 10 rebounds and 6 assists. Memphis has a good team. Memphis, 104. Heat, 86. Dwayne Wade with a miserable game, 8 points on 3 for 15 shooting. LeBron, 20 and 10 rebounds and 6 assists. Bosch, 22 points, 8 rebounds, but no help off the bench. And this is where, you know, Miami supposedly improved. But yesterday, Ray Allen only 2 for 7 for 5 points. They really didn't get a lot of help off the bench. Memphis 104, Heat 86. Other games yesterday, the Nets beat the Magic 82-74. The Magic are going nowhere. The Nets moved to 3-2. Brook Lopez, 20 points. Chris Humphries, 21 rebounds, rather, so they're not just Williams and Joe Johnson. The Nets moved to 3-2. A couple of other games, the Clippers, who are going to make some noise this year, beat the Hawks in Los Angeles 89-76. Griffin with 16 points leads the team, Paul with 8 assists. And also Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Cavaliers in Oklahoma City. Westbrook, 27 points and 10 assists to lead the Thunder. Kyrie Irving, 20 points to lead the Cavaliers, 106-91 Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City now 5-2. The Cavaliers now 2-5. A few other things to get to, of course. If you follow college football, you know by well that big upset, and that was a big upset, I'm sorry. Texas A&M, yeah, they got Johnny Football at quarterback, Texas A&M. But Texas A&M goes into Tuscaloosa. Yes, they're ranked 15th, but I don't think anybody really gave Texas A&M a chance. But Saturday, Texas A&M gets off to a 20-0 lead in the first quarter. Alabama makes a furious comeback, but Texas A&M holds on to win. Texas A&M 29, Alabama 24. Of course, lots of ramifications here. Alabama drops to 9-1. We'll get to the BCS standings in a minute, but they drop from 1-4. Again, Johnny Football, 24 for 31, 253 yards, 2 TDs, and he really is a good rusher as well. 18 rushes for 92 yards. I mean, he was too much for Alabama to handle. McCarron, 21 for 34, 309 yards, one touchdown but 2 interceptions. Johnny Football with no interceptions for Texas A&M. Lacey, 16 rushes for 92 yards for Alabama. Cooper, 6 receptions for 136 yards and a touchdown, but it wasn't enough. Swope, Johnny Football's favorite target, 11 receptions for 111 yards and a touchdown. And, of course, Johnny Football led the team in passing and rushing, and it's an amazing win. Texas A&M, 29. Alabama, 24. Now, you wish they had a 14 playoff, because I think Alabama is, you know, they play in the SEC. There's so many good teams in the SEC. But now, as of right now, for the first time, you know, the top three teams are non-SEC teams. And it looks like two of them might very well play for the national championship, barring some losses. Oregon buries Cal 59-17. You know, Cal drops to 3-8, so you expect Oregon to bury them. Kansas State beats TCU in TCU 23-10. You know, Oregon, Notre Dame, and Kansas State, they were all on the road, but I don't think they were facing opponents anywhere near what Texas A&M was. But Oregon wins 59-17. Kansas State wins 23-10. Klein did play. You know, did he have a concussion? Did he not? 12 for 21 for 145 yards, and he also rushed 15 times for 50 yards and 2 TDs. Colin Klein still in the hunt for the Heisman. Notre Dame goes up to Boston College. Boston College terrible this year. Notre Dame beats Boston College on the road 21-6. Golson, their quarterback, is healthy and back, 16 for 24, 200 yards and 2 TDs. Notre Dame 10-0, K-State 10-0, Oregon 10-0, Alabama 9-1 after dropping a home game to Texas A&M. Texas A&M 8-2. I mean, look, they were ranked 15th, but I think it was shocking that Alabama could be beat at home after they went on the road and beat LSU the previous week. Your BCS standings today: Kansas State number 1, You know, Snyder's done an unbelievable job there, of course. Oregon, number two. Notre Dame, number three. Alabama, number four. But when you look down the top ten, Alabama, four. Georgia, five. Florida, six. LSU, seven. Texas A&M, eight. South Carolina, nine. Florida State, ten. You know, I don't think K-State, Oregon, or Notre Dame would be anywhere near undefeated. I don't even think they'd be one-loss teams if they had to play in the SEC. But that's all irrelevant. The computers are what the computers are. If you lose, you're in trouble, and Alabama lost, so they dropped to four again. This may not matter in 2 years when they take four teams for the playoff, but it matters a lot this year. Now, frankly, Alabama's going to have to hope. I think two teams out of K-State, Oregon, and Notre Dame lose. Right now, it looks like computer-wise, according to the experts, that if K-State and Oregon and Notre Dame win out, that's going to be K-State and Oregon, and Notre Dame will be left, you know, on the outside looking in. But we'll see what happens. But you now have three 10-0 teams. Ohio State's 10-0 as well, but they're not eligible, as you know. Right now, K-State number one, Oregon number two, Notre Dame number three, and Alabama with a loss number four. Not going to do too much college basketball, but number two, Louisville beat Manhattan 79-51. They're my pick for the national championship, as you know. Syracuse beat San Diego State on the USS Midway out in San Diego, 62-49. C.J. Fair, 17 points, 10 rebounds. Interestingly, there was a game canceled at halftime on Saturday. Florida was leading Georgetown at the half, 27-23. They were trying to play on the USS Baton in Jacksonville, Florida, but the court became too wet and slippery, so that game was canceled. Not to be made up, and the next game, which was supposed to be Ohio State and Marquette, that was also canceled as well. Ohio State yesterday at home, back home, beat Albany 82-60. They're ranked number four in the country. So, and as I said, Louisville beat Manhattan 79-51. They're ranked second in the country. TV tonight. There's a football game tonight, but not really. You know, we're getting that time of year. Chiefs at the Steelers, the 1-7 Chiefs. The Steelers, you know, climbing back in there. They beat the Giants at home last week. They should beat the Chiefs tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, ESPN. If you're into college basketball, starting at midnight Eastern, they have three games back-to-back-to-back. West Virginia at Gonzaga, Davidson at New Mexico, Houston Baptist at Hawaii. And finally, the game I gave you on Friday, which we talked about at length, Seattle over the Jets minus six. You know, it was 14-7 for a while there, but then Seattle blew it open to cover. Seattle 28, Jets 7. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.